Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Go ahead and turn that word into a prayer tonight. Lift up your voice and pray. Come on, do I have believers in the house? Lift up your voice and pray. Turn that song into a prayer. Come on, is someone praying? Is someone praying? Lift up your voice and pray. Shila barata kabada bakai. Manteko barasita kabariata kebradila da bakoria kabana. Mambrata kabashata barata kabana balada bakai. Come on, go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. God is set to visit us in a very unique way tonight. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Ratakabashata kabariata kabana. Rantekoparasilata kabariata kebredia kabalata. Randokobashila bariata kabrana makabriata baladabaka. Oh, I can see with the eyes of my spirit. I can see young ancients rising, for I know they're coming in their thousands, they're coming from afar, they're coming from afar. Oh, 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 oh. My God, my God. In the midst of his people is mighty. God in the midst of his people is mighty. God in the midst of his people is gracious. Would you reveal your glory to us once and again tonight? Show us your mercy once and again tonight. Let Jesus be revealed. Let Jesus be glorified. Come on, is somebody praying? You have one more minute. Is somebody praying? Tell you, there is such power and grace upon us tonight. There is such power and grace upon us tonight. I speak spirit. I don't speak English. I speak life. I speak life. I speak spirit. I don't speak English. I speak life. I speak. For you have made my tongue the pen of a ready writer. I speak life. I speak. Father, we thank you. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Hallelujah. Please, while we're still standing, we have a culture in this ministry, and it is second only to the law of encounter, which is the law of honor. I stand here tonight by the privilege of God's grace and mercy to stand in the capacity of our Father. I truly thank God for this rare privilege and honor. I'm eternally grateful. Can we celebrate God's servant, the angel, over this house? We thank you. We thank you. Thank you so much, Daddy. Although in absentia, but his spirit and his grace is in the house. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate God one more time for his precious gift, his precious servant? Hallelujah. And on this wise, I also want to celebrate every single vessel of God, man and woman of God in the house, leaders of organizations, captains of industries. I truly honor and celebrate everyone. Please, can we celebrate every great vessel in the house? We have Pastor Fred in the house. We honor and celebrate you, sir. House on the Rock, Zamfara. Can we celebrate? Come on, we're a house of honor. Can we celebrate graces? Hallelujah. And I genuinely and sincerely want to celebrate all my brothers in the house. Thank you so much. I know you're praying for me. Amen. One more time, can we celebrate Yahweh as we have our seats in the presence of God? Give the Lord a shout! Please take your seats in the presence of God. I bring us the love and greetings and blessings from our Father in the Lord. I sincerely pray that he comes and takes over from me. Amen. Hallelujah. But within the limit of time that I have, I just want to bring the word of the Lord, and I know that God will bless someone in a very mighty way in the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verses 41. A very powerful passage. It says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. So that means whatever it is you consider a challenge or a limitation tonight, that limitation can be rolled away. Hallelujah. It says, where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Not thou will hear me. Thou hast heard me. Verse 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The last verse. And he that was dead came forth, but bound hand and foot with what? Grave clothes. It says, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Acts chapter 4 and verses 12. Before I begin to build my course tonight. Acts chapter 4 and verses 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. Praise the Lord. So that means when it has to do with experiencing salvation, the new birth experience, this is a reality only exclusive to the office of Christ himself. Hallelujah. And this was clearly exemplified in the passage we read earlier, captured in John chapter 11 from verses 41. The Bible says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Lazarus, come forth. This is a prophetic adumbration of our translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, or the kingdom of light. So as far as that translation is concerned, none other has it been given as an exclusive privilege amongst the Godhead to save mankind except Christ himself. Now the question I ask is, every single time I read that passage, if God or Jesus now had the power to call forth Lazarus from the dead, then he should also have the power to take off the grave clothes. The same that had the power to call forth a man who was dead for 4 days should also have the same power to take off the grave clothes. But Jesus did something very unique here. He assigned certain men, called them. Thank God Jesus did not mention a name. If not, some of us will not be standing here. So whoever the them are, you can be enlisted tonight. When you study Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul began to speak about the construction of the church, he said the same that descended was the same also that ascended. He says when he ascended, he gave what? Gifts to men. That some to be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, some pastors, for the equipping, the empowering of the saints. So as far as the salvation experience of men are concerned, is a reality, is an experience exclusive to Christ alone. That means no man can save another man. But before he left, he did not leave us confused. He empowered certain men. So whoever the them are, we do not know. But that scripture proves the fact that they did not go on their own accord. They went because they were sent. They have the backing of the master. They have the backing of Jesus himself. And captured within the graces they have been empowered with is the ability to take off the grave clothes and every limitation that holds us bound. And there are three very unique parts of the body that scripture mentioned. Number one, the head. Number two, the hands of Lazarus. And then number three, the feet of Lazarus. So that means when you come under the grace and the atmosphere of such kinds of men, such kind of kingdom emissaries, one of the things that begins to happen to you is the transformation of the mind. It's not to give you power. It's not to give you grace. The first thing in their pecking order that begins to happen to us every time we come under the atmosphere of these men and women who are sent ones is the transformation of our mind. So he told them, he mandated them. He says, when you go, take off the napkins that has bounded the head. And then when you enjoy transformation sustainably enough, you know, our father taught us beautifully and powerfully that what is upon your head controls what is around your life and what is in your hands. So the grave clothes that bounded the hands of Lazarus speaks of his productivity being impeded. So from transformation, it translates to productivity. All of a sudden, the works of your hands begins to flourish. The assignment, the calling, the giftings of God upon your life begins to flourish because you came under an atmosphere. You came under a grace. Tonight is not about a man. There is a man tool in the house that makes men. So if you are looking at this frail vessel, you've lost it already. And then thirdly, first transformation, second productivity, and then third advancement. Advancement. God has given us the privilege to serve for quite a while in this house. And at this point in my life, I can clearly say that I've been able to move from point A to point B because I came under an atmosphere. That grace that makes ordinary men and turns them into signs and wonders. Tonight your life will not be an exception in the name of Jesus. There is a grace in the house that makes men. There is a mantle in the house that makes men. When you come under that anointing, the first thing that happens is that your mind is changed. My mind is changed. My mind is renewed. And then for a while, that transformation begins to translate to productivity. And productivity then translates to advancement. Notable advancement. Tonight, the first miracle that will happen to you is that when you go back home, they will say, I thought you left as Saul. How come you are prophesying? How come you are prophesying? I thought you left the house tonight as Saul, but yet you returned as Prophet Saul because you came under a grace. You came under an anointing tonight. Tonight, by the privilege of God's grace, I want to preach what I title Activating Priesthood and Kingship. Activating Priesthood and Kingship. Activating Priesthood and Kingship. So the same way I earlier on explained, I'm not here on my own accord. Praise the Lord. activating priesthood and kingship. Now, by way of introduction, if you have been in this house for a while, I just want to borrow a concept that our father teaches. How that there are many names that the believer is called in scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. There are many names that the believer is called in scripture. And when you read especially throughout the New Testament, the believer is called light, as we all know it. The believer is called salt. Believers are also called children. Believers are called Christians. And so on and so forth. So, now, why are believers called certain names in scriptures? I just want to give us three reasons very quickly as I begin to build my course. Why are believers called certain names in scriptures? We're still talking about activating priesthood and kingship. Shortly, you will know why the believer is called a priest and the believer is called a king. So, we are called certain names in scriptures primarily for three reasons. Number one, to reveal our makeup and design spiritually. We are called certain names in this kingdom first to reveal our makeup and design spiritually. So certain names scattered throughout scriptures that believers are called can give us a clue as to how God formed and fashioned this special called man. The second reason why we're called certain names in scripture is to reveal our potentials and abilities in Christ. So at once, if the believer is called light, that name alone grants us access to knowing the abilities and the graces, the potentials that have been invested in that individual. So that means if I'm called salt, at once I know that one of the reasons, among many other, that God created me is to bring preservation. Hallelujah. So that is the second reason why we're called certain names in the Bible. The third reason is to reveal our assignment in Christ and to this world. To reveal our assignment in Christ to the world or to this world. So, having known all of these three reasons, you don't just call yourself light as a religious cliche. At once, it informs you with an understanding that everywhere you step into, darkness should naturally leave. Why? Because I am called light. And by reason of that naming and that identity, I know what I have been empowered with. I know what my design is like. I know my abilities. So when I step into where there is sickness and infirmity, without any argument, infirmity should leave. When I step into a place where there is ignorance, at once, because of my emergence, there should be understanding and knowledge. Why? Because I'm called a certain name. So please say with me, I am a priest and I am a king. Can we say that one more time? I am a priest and I am a king. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verses. Okay, let's just stay here. Now we see the word a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation and we are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. The word royal there connotes kingship. The word priesthood there connotes the fact that we have been called as priests, as believers. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, and hath made us kings and priests. Now, if we had stopped in the scripture we read earlier, you may not see distinctively the need for kingship and the need for priesthood. Now, we are not at liberty to choose kingship and neglect priesthood. Neither are we at liberty to choose priesthood and neglect kingship. This is what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, and had made us, this is God now, kings and priests. Not kings or priests. So that means we need both to have dominion on earth. We need both to exercise our rulership on earth. Unto God and his Father. It says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The last scripture, Revelation chapter 5 and verses 10. Same expression. It says, and had made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So that means you do not only need kingship to reign on earth. You do not only need priesthood to reign on earth. We all need priesthood and kingship to reign on earth. Praise the Lord. Now to clearly define to us why we need both, I want to give us three distinct differences between priesthood and kingship. Three distinct differences. To be able to reveal the fact that we need both. Not having one and then neglecting the other. Hallelujah. Now the first reason, or the first difference I captured here, is that priesthood secures our connection with God. Priesthood secures our connection with God and the realm of the Spirit. While kingship secures our connection and impact on the earth. Priesthood secures our connection with God and with the realm of the Spirit. While kingship secures our connection and impact on the earth. So broadly speaking, we have two schools of thoughts in the body of Christ. There are those who largely believe that all you need to do is to just secure your connection with God. And every other system, every other structure can go places. You may be relevant spiritually, but you will be beggarly on earth. Every man can go places. Every organization can go places. Every structure can go places. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the heavens, even the heaven of the heavens, belongs to the Lord. But the earth has he given to the sons of men. The word kingdom is coined from two words, king and domain. Our domain as believers is not heaven. Our domain as believers is earth. This is why we are called, the Bible puts it this way. It says, king of kings
and Lord of lords. So there can be two kings in heaven. There can be two kings in heaven. As a matter of fact, the entire pursuit of the average believer in Christendom is just, you know, just working out their salvation with fear and trembling, hoping that one day they will make heaven. Heaven is not all that God mandated us to do and experience. Making heaven, rather. If you're blessed, say amen. Amen. So priesthood secures our connection with God. As a matter of fact, it was said of this concerning Jesus. Luke chapter 2 and verses 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God, priesthood, and men, relationship, connection with the earth. Men are not in heaven. The only man we have in heaven right now is Jesus. So if the only person you are connected to is Jesus alone, you will be clapped for spiritually. But you will pay dearly for it in the world of men. So that means priesthood is as important as kingship. Hallelujah. The second difference I wrote here is, through priesthood, we wield our resources spiritually. We wield. We release. Our resources spiritually. While kingship creates the platform through which we exercise these spiritual abilities. So that means if I access divine wisdom through priesthood, kingship creates the platform on earth to exercise that divine wisdom. So, through priesthood, we wield our resources spiritually, while kingship creates the platform through which we exercise these spiritual resources or abilities. Praise the Lord. And then the third difference we have here is that through priesthood, we secure our relevance spiritually. Through priesthood, we are relevant spiritually. While through kingship, we are relevant earthly. So that means if you are alive in your priesthood, you will be known by angels. You will be known by spirit of just men made perfect. You will be known by the 24 elders. You will be known by the four living creatures. You will be known by God. But if you neglect kingship, then you have neglected the platform that kingship creates for you to wield those spiritual abilities. For instance, with the level of honor you see displayed in this house, it takes the wisdom that comes from kingship, not just priesthood alone. Kingship tells you we need a public address system, because in kingship you will find wisdom. Kingship tells you we need light, because in kingship you find the oppression of wisdom. Hallelujah. So the third difference is that through priesthood, we are relevant spiritually, while through kingship we are relevant earthly. As I begin to tie up the knot, let's quickly talk about the keys or the precursors to activating priesthood on one side and then kingship on the other side. I'll just talk about three keys for both. Hallelujah. Tonight is going to be a short service. I hope that our Father comes. Amen. You know, our Father is a fountain. He can talk from morning till night, night till morning. Hallelujah. One more time, can we celebrate God's servant? So I'm not teaching anything different tonight. I'm just giving it a unique expression. I'm not teaching anything different. Everything I'm sharing tonight is what I received. The Bible says, no man has received anything except that which is given. Hallelujah. So what are the keys to activating priesthood? What are the keys to activating priesthood? Key or principle number one, salvation. The first key to activating priesthood, because priesthood largely speaks of being alive unto God, or being alive spiritually. And the access point to exercising your priesthood and my priesthood in their pecking order is salvation, which is also called the new birth experience, our spiritual birth. Romans chapter 6 and verses 11. Romans chapter 6 and verses 11. If God is helping us, say amen. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. But it says, alive unto God through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So one of the authorized way to be alive unto God or to be alive spiritually is to have what we call the new birth experience. To be born again. Praise the Lord. When you study the book of Genesis, particularly chapter 3, which speaks of the fall of man, you would realize that there were many consequences that came on account of the fall. As a matter of fact, when you speak of salvation, salvation is largely in threefold. We have the salvation of the Spirit, which speaks of justification, which is the regeneration of our spirit man. We have the salvation of the soul, which speaks of sanctification, the renewing of our mind. And then we have the third level of salvation, which is called glorification, which speaks of that age or that dispensation where mortality will be consumed in immortality. Praise the Lord. So the regeneration of our spirit man happens instantaneously, but the transformation of our mind takes a process of time. Hallelujah. And one of the impact of the fall, when man fell in Genesis chapter 3, was that the spirit of man became separated from God. So man was no longer alive spiritually. Man was no longer alive unto God. Man could no longer pick the vibrations of God. Hallelujah. So one of the authorized ways to activating priesthood in their order of priority is salvation. Because when you study through our scriptures carefully, you will discover that there are many other routes to accessing the realm of the spirit. Salvation is not the only way, or Jesus Christ is not the only way to accessing the realm of the Spirit. I hope you know that God is not the only operator of the spirit realm. The spirit realm is not where God dwells. God dwells in light. Hallelujah. Are we confused? So being saved, anyways, let's look at John chapter 3 for clearer understanding. John chapter 3, the conversation between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus. John chapter 3 and verses 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verses 2. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verses 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see there speaks of perceive. So except we are born again, we cannot perceive the realm of God. Except we are born again, we cannot pick the frequencies of God. So God can be in a place, but because the organs that make for your spiritual interactions are deadened, you cannot know and experience God. Hallelujah. So one of the ways authorized by scripture that we perceive and know God is to be saved and to be born again. Then verses 4 says, then Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verses 5, Jesus' response. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. The word enter speaks of experience. Enter into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now here we see, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now, water is a material substance. Amen. Now, one of the ways we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ is to be baptized into water. But when you are physically, when you and I are physically baptized into water, the water doesn't touch your spirit. You feel the water, or you feel the impact of the water with your body. So if you are baptized with water and you have not professed Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are still not saved. Although the baptism with water helps us identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Christ, we must also experience the indwelling of the Spirit of God that regenerates our spirit man. So we must experience both. Both are important in the new birth experience. Hallelujah. So somebody may be hearing me saying, oh, I did water baptism. Do I have to come for an altar call to profess Jesus as Lord and personal Savior? Yes. Although water baptism has a spiritual implication, when you are being baptized in water, it only affects your physical body. I'm not saying water baptism doesn't have a spiritual implication. It does. But when you are baptized in water, it only affects your body physically. So it takes professing Christ as your Lord and personal Savior for the indwelling of the Spirit of God that causes you to be alive unto God. Praise the Lord. So the first key to activating priesthood is the new birth experience called salvation. Hallelujah. The second key to activating priesthood is spiritual illumination through the word. Spiritual illumination through the word. The reason why it is so important to contend for the understanding or the illumination that comes from the Word of God in activating your priesthood is because the realm of the Spirit is legalistic. It is governed by laws. So we have the average believer who just prays haphazardly. You know, confront altars. You just confront things the way you feel. It takes spiritual intelligence to engage the realm of the Spirit. If not, casualty can come from that. Casualty can come from that. You know, humorously speaking and respectfully so, I heard a story that was shared about an evangelist who went to a certain town, a village, to preach the gospel of Christ. You know, the assignment of the evangelist is just to, with the sickle, he reaps, he harvests the field. But it is the assignment of the pastor and the teacher to ground and to establish. So, the gentleman got fired up from that crusade because the evangelist came with a message that fired the gentleman up. So, after the meeting, he went to confront a shrine. Hallelujah. And then there was such a casualty that came from that confrontation. Why? Because that believer is only an infant. He's not being grounded to understand spiritual jurisdiction and legislation. Hallelujah. Job chapter 29 from verses 1 through verses 3. Job 29 from verses 1. It says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in the month past, as in the days where God preserved men. It says, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. This was a man who understood the place of spiritual enlightenment, spiritual illumination in the place of priesthood. So that means there was an exact explanation to the victory that Job experienced before God made for the allowance for the attack by Satan. So the reason why the entire life, the entire business, and the entire family of Job was in order and tranquility was because of the understanding that the Bible says he has. And by that light, he walked through darkness. So while it is true that it is priesthood that causes us to be alive spiritually and alive unto God, it is also important that we are equipped with the light and the information that helps us navigate spiritually. Hallelujah. Psalms 119 and verses 18. Psalms 119 and verses 18. This was the prayer of the psalmist. It says, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy laws. So that means when interacting with the Word of God, interacting with the principles of the kingdom, we have been taught powerfully here that the Word of God creates the boundaries of God's commitment in the life of the believer. And every time we interact with the Word of God, we look out for three things. Number one, principles. Number two, promises. And number three, prophecies. Hallelujah. So this was the prayer of the psalmist, that God will open his eyes so that he can behold wondrous things out of the laws of God, out of the principles captured in scriptures. Hallelujah. He says, blessed are your eyes for they see, and blessed are your ears for they hear. The Bible or the Word of God may be given to you, but scripture testifies of the fact that that book is sealed. So until your eyes is opened, you can't access the treasures that are in the Word of God. The Bible says they took the Word of God and they gave it to the learned. The learned said, oh, I cannot read it, for it is sealed. They gave it to the unlearned, and the unlearned had the same testimony. So until God opens our eyes in interacting with the Word of God, we cannot access anything. We cannot access light. Because how we war with darkness in this kingdom is by light. Not just zeal, not just desires alone, but with light. Hallelujah. In fact, this is what scripture calls us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 5. It says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. It says, we are not of the night nor of darkness. So here scripture is testifying of the fact that we don't just have light, we are light. So for the information we receive from the Word of God to be translated to light, that information must enter into you. John chapter 1 and verses 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And a point came that the Word became inseparable with God himself. So until we become one with the Word, we cannot translate to becoming light. Verse 2. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth what? Where? In darkness. And darkness comprehended it not. So darkness is not scared of me or you. Darkness is only scared of the light of God's word that I carry. The Bible says, your word have I found, and I did eat them. It is not the one in your journal that translates to light. It's the one you eat. It's the one that enters you. It says, and God sent forth his word into Jacob. Not to Jacob. Into Jacob. And that word lighted upon Israel. So that means there is a level of light and illumination required in becoming effective and efficient priests in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Is God helping us? I know you are praying for me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The last key and principle I'll talk about on priesthood. There are many other precursors to activating priesthood, but for sake of time, I'll just talk about 3-4 boats. So the final that I'll talk about on priesthood is a life of prayer and intercession. You want to activate priesthood in your life? You must be a man or a woman giving to prayer and intercession. And one of my earnest desires is that this is a house that is so lavished with this grace for prayer and intercession. And after this meeting, I believe strongly in my heart that that grace will come upon as many as are desirous of this grace. So the final key, a life given to prayer and intercession. Luke chapter 18 and verses 1. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Like our father would teach very powerfully, if you are a spirit, this scripture is not for you. If you are God, this scripture is not for you. But for as long as you carry this earthly suit, you cannot neglect the role of prayer in priesthood. Hallelujah. And when Jesus was talking about the principles of prayer in this scripture, he captured it in a parable. That means not everybody will understand. Why do you think the average believer struggles with prayer? It's a parable. It takes the eyes that see. As you are studying about prayer, you know, largely speaking, this is a personal experience and what God taught me. God taught me 3 areas of understanding that I must have to be effective in prayer. And this is how I named them. To be very effective in prayer, you must have 3 levels of understanding. Number 1 is the art of prayer. A-R-T. The art of prayer. That means this is where you understand all the principles, all the laws that govern prayer. So that means if you do not know why you should pray, you may struggle in prayer. The second level of understanding that God taught me in prayer is the act of prayer. So, having known all the laws and principles that govern effectiveness in prayer, you must also pray prayer. How to get out of prayerlessness is not just to read a book on Bob Sodge or to read the Bible, accessing the principles on prayer. How to get out of prayerlessness is to pray. Because after reading those laws and those keys, you will still have to pray. So he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So Jesus also acknowledges the fact that for as long as we are still in this mortal body, we can faint. But God has created several platforms of advantages. One is the Spirit of God. It says the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. So after knowing what prayer is about, you must pray prayer. Which is what I call the act of prayer. Excuse me? The act of prayer. A-C-T. Hallelujah. And then the third is what I call the spirit of prayer. So, after knowing the act of prayer, and then you know, or the art of prayer, you then know the act of prayer, then you now know the spirit of prayer. Hallelujah. You then know the spirit of prayer. So in acting prayer, where your strength fails you, then the Spirit comes upon you. Because the Spirit of prayer will not come upon you until you engage Him. So you engage the Spirit of prayer by praying.
A gentleman walked up to me and then he said, I can't explain it. You know, in recent time, my prayer life is going down. You know, I can't explain it. That prayer is no longer sweet in his mouth. This was what I told him. I said, when you are down with malaria and typhoid, and the doctor prescribes a drug, and you taste the drug on your tongue, and you discover it is bitter, do you still swallow it? He said, yes. I said, chew prayer until it becomes sweet in your mouth.
Pray prayer until it becomes your natural disposition. And the Spirit Himself can help our infirmity. Jesus acknowledges that we can faint because we are mortals. But there is such a dimension in the Holy Ghost called the Spirit of Prayer. He says, and I will pour upon the house of David the Spirit of grace and supplication. That you are praying, you want to stop praying, but you can't stop. A spirit has taken over your vocal cords. You pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the evening, pray in the night. This is one of the ways we activate priesthood, prayer and intercession.
Let me show us a scripture that blessed me, that God showed me on prayer. Daniel chapter 9 and verses 21. Daniel chapter 9 and verses 21. It says, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, it says, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the visions at the beginning, it says, being caused to fly swiftly and touched me about the time of the evening oblation.
So, there was an energy that was created through the prayer and intercession of Daniel that accelerated the coming of that angel. It says, yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the visions at the beginning. So what that means is that the realities of God that you see in visions will only remain visions until you pray. So the Gabriel that I saw in the visions of God now came physically and he touched me. The anointing to raise the dead that I saw in the vision spiritually in the beginning.
Can we pray for the next 30 seconds?
The anointing to heal the sick will remain a vision. You will see it in your dreams. You will see it in your visions. You will see it in the night times. But it may never become your reality until you learn the ways of prayer and intercession. Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? God has showed you that you are an apostle to the nations. It may remain a vision. It will only remain a vision until you learn the path of prayer and intercession. Prayer is one of the ways we activate priesthood. Pray when you feel like it.
Pray when you don't feel like it. When prayer is not the key, then prayer becomes the hand that holds the key. 20 more seconds. Somebody is crying. Oh God, the visions you have showed me in the night times, this is the seasons for their manifestations. This is the seasons that they will become flesh. The angel Gabriel that I saw in my visions in the beginning, the Bible says, being caused to move swiftly, he came and he touched me.
I pray, yet not I that pray. I pray, yet not I that pray. There is a praying spirit within me, oh. I pray, yet not I that pray.
Someone is praying. 10 more seconds. Men and women are drinking from the fountains of the mantle in this house. The graces in this house through prayer. I know God has showed you in dreams, but those realities will remain a dream until you pray them down. Kia soko pariata. Rakia takaparua tekebilia takai. Rakapana makambria takapaluatai. Rakapana makabria tabalada bakoria. Rakapana makabria tabalada bakabria tai. Rakapalada bakabria tabalada bakabria tabala. Abrana makabala takabai. Atakapala takabaria takai. Aratakapana makampada. Abratakabala tai. Is someone praying? Is someone praying? Go ahead and pray some more. Shortly we'll talk about the keys to activating kingship. Ratoko paria takai. Prante ko paraste. Lekiasto ko prante. Rakiata kaparu astekeliatai. Ragabana makabria dabala takai. Rataka pakute. Ladabara takabana. The grace to be given to prayer and intercession. Let that grace come upon me. Let that grace come upon my destiny. Radabana mashante koparaha. Zeniaton de clarista. Vakote tebria takabarosa. Faratiana makombre. Parasuna takai. Still same Daniel chapter 21. Daniel 21, 9:21. It says, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, it says, when whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, it says, being caused. So the angel did not just come with his energy from heaven. Daniel, through prayer and intercession, created the energy that angel came by. It says the angel came swiftly. So that means that breakthrough job will come slowly, spread across 10 years or 20 years. If there is no man to lift up his or her voice in prayer. So that means I am responsible for how slow or how fast God answers.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Our father just walked in here. Please, can we celebrate God's servant, our father? Thank you so much, sir. Hallelujah. Please be seated for a few moments. Thank God God has answered my prayer. Hallelujah. That somewhere along the line, our father would just come and help me. Amen. Are we excited about God's gift to this generation? We have nothing except that which is given. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So finally, briefly, as I wrap up, amen. Just pay attention. Hallelujah. We're done talking about the keys to activating priesthood. Now, I briefly want to talk about the keys to activating kingship. Like I did talk earlier, that we're not at liberty to choose priesthood and neglect kingship. Neither are we at liberty to choose kingship and neglect priesthood. It says we are made unto our God kings and priests. Not kings or priests. Hallelujah. So what is the first key to activating kingship? Divine or supernatural wisdom? Divine or supernatural wisdom? God's servant Bishop David teaches this very beautifully. He talks about how that there are four dimensions to the operation of wisdom. We have human wisdom. We have intellectual wisdom. We have demonic wisdom or devilish wisdom. And then we have divine or supernatural wisdom. Hallelujah. So my point of emphasis here is divine or supernatural wisdom. One of the inevitable key that we must engage, or principle that we must engage in activating the kingship of the believer, is to contend for divine wisdom. Proverbs chapter 24 and verses 3. We're reading 3 and 4. It says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Verses 4. It says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Hallelujah. So a house is built by wisdom, not by prayer. We've talked about prayer as one of the activators of priesthood. We've talked about being saved, the salvation experience, as one of the keys to activating priesthood. We've talked about prayer. But when it has to do with kingship, it doesn't just take prayer alone. It takes divine wisdom to excel in as a king on earth. Praise the Lord. And I did say that earlier, that our domain as given by God is earth, not heaven. The heaven of the heavens belongs to God. But the earth has he given to be kings over the earth. So, and I did say that the word kingdom comes from two words, king and domain. So scripture calls us kings, but we have a domain also, just as God being king, having a domain called heaven. You and I also are kings, and we have a domain, and the jurisdiction within which the influence that comes from our kingship finds expression is earth. And one of the ways we rule the earth through kingship is divine wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 15 and 16. I'll be fast on this. It says, by me, kings what? Reign and princes decree justice. This is wisdom speaking. By me, kings reign. So if you want to reign as a king on earth, you must contend for wisdom.
I must contend for wisdom. Not just any kind of wisdom, but divine wisdom.
Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6 and verses 1. We're reading to verses 4. Mark 6 verses 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples followed him. Verses 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man? So that means it is not only spirits that can access divine wisdom. Men can also access divine wisdom. Because Jesus came in the flesh. It says, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given? So when we talk about the operation of divine wisdom or supernatural wisdom, it is not studied. It's not a kind of wisdom that comes on account of advancement in age, or a wisdom we access by going in to study in an academic institution. It's a kind of wisdom that God himself gives.
Hallelujah.
Because the Pharisees also had the same access that Jesus had to the Torah. It was the same Torah that the Pharisees were reading that Jesus came and he carried and he read. And then when he taught from that same Torah, they said, where has this man these things? That means we have studied the Torah from cover to cover. Is there another curriculum you have access to that we do not have access to? Divine wisdom. It comes from above.
Let's read verses 3 now, I presume.
It says, is not this the carpenter? So that means they had defined Jesus by an identity. But wisdom renamed him. Wisdom changed his identity. Although called a carpenter by their natural discernment, but when wisdom came upon him, all of a sudden they saw what a carpenter should not do naturally, but Jesus did it because of wisdom upon him. It says, and the son of Mary. It says, the brothers of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. It says, are not his sisters here with us? So that means when divine wisdom comes upon you, it breaks family limitations. It breaks traditional limitations. It breaks cultural limitations. So you may be born in a polygamous home. You may be born to be poor and beggarly. Born in penury. But when divine wisdom comes upon you, it breaks and shatters the limitation. They couldn't but testify that Jesus had an access to something that was not natural. Divine wisdom.
Final scripture on this wise, James chapter 1 and verses 8.
So like I said, this divine wisdom doesn't come by study. Verses 5. Divine wisdom doesn't come by advancement in age. But divine wisdom comes because it is given. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that what?
Giveth.
If any lack wisdom, the wisdom of God, not just let him study, let him ask of the God that giveth. And the Pharisees also testify that the wisdom by which Jesus spake was given. So tonight we will cry to God for that wisdom. This is one of the graces we enjoy in this house. Divine wisdom. Key number 2 in activating kingship. Kingdom, wealth, and prosperity. Kingdom, wealth, and prosperity. You know, many years ago when our father would drum it into our ears, don't just be anointed alone. Contend for kingdom wealth and prosperity. So then we didn't have anybody we were responsible for. We didn't have anybody school fees we're paying. We didn't have anybody we're feeding. So we just casually and trivialized it. It looked as though we're hearing, but our results prove that we are not really hearing. But when you have bills before you, when our Father is praying, take the grace for wealth and abundance, you will open up your heart and receive. My brothers can be every witness. Now our hearts are open because there are bills. The name of Jesus is heavy. It takes wealth to carry it. Check throughout the scriptures. Every single one human being that was called a king interacted with wealth. And the same earth they walked in is the same earth we are walking in. So if we want to rule as kings, we must also interact with the wealth they interacted with. And wealth don't go back to heaven. The wealth that Solomon walked in is still in the earth. This is why the Bible says, because these treasures are hidden. Our Father taught us here last week powerfully on miracle service. He says the treasures are hidden. So that means for every king that walked with these treasures on earth, when they transited, God collected it and hid it. So if you must walk in that same wealth, God must show you where they are hidden. He says, and I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden secrets of riches of secret places. Lord, you said you will give me. Where is it? Have you asked? Have you asked? You said you will give me. I will give you. Where is it, oh God? I checked my bank account. Zero. Where is it, oh God? May God give us the heart that will truly carry end time wealth and abundance. Haggai chapter 2 and verses 8. Kingdom wealth and prosperity as an activator of kingship. It says the silver is mine. And this same God is my God. This same God is your God. So if the silver is his, that means the silver is mine also. And the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 45 and verses 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am God of Israel. Psalms 50 and verses 10. I'm just running. Psalms 50 and verses 10. It says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills is mine. Verse 11. He says, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field. You know, every time I read this scripture, I used to pray in my heart. I said, God, even if you not give me the whole cattle, at least give me the leg. Give me somewhere. Hallelujah. Final scripture, Psalms 35 and verses 27. Psalms 35. It says, let them that shout for joy and be glad, that favor my righteous cause. So that means there has to be a cause for God to give us wealth. And not just any kind of cause, a righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually. So that means in indoctrinating yourself with believing that God desires for me to prosper is not a message you hear once. Our Father taught us here that there are arguably so that there are messages that he had heard over 6,000 times. So say, let them say to themselves continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. There are many teachings on this wise in this ministry, so you can as well access them. Financial dominion, the wealthy place, and so on and so forth. And then the last key that I'll talk about is kingdom influence and affluence. As one of the keys to activating kingship. Kingdom influence and affluence. As I close. Kingdom influence and affluence. The most accurate teaching on influence in scripture was actually done by Jesus himself. As we would see shortly in Luke chapter 13 from verses 20 to 21. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? So the subject matter here is kingdom. And Jesus wants to teach about influence and affluence. So he was teaching in parable and likening a concept to the kingdom of God and how it functions. Verses 21. It says, it is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So that means a little droplet of yeast was dropped into three measures of flour. And then after a while, initially when the yeast came in, was introduced into the flour, it was still called flour. But eventually, through the influence of that yeast, the Bible says the whole loaf was leavened. Initially, leaven was introduced. But at the initial instance, it was still called the meal or the flour. But eventually, the entire loaf came under the influence of that tiny dot ingredient called yeast. So that means the church may still yet look insignificant in our world today. We may look like we don't have anything or carry anything. It's only a matter of time. And usually, for the effect of that yeast to be felt in the dough, you have to subject it to heat. So that means the economic meltdown we're seeing now is a strategy of God to heat the dough. Because how we gain relevance is through pressure and trials. How our influence is activated is through pressure and trials. So that means darkness is not about to end. We must only contend for the light commensurate enough to superimpose darkness. The Bible says darkness shall cover the earth. Cross darkness the people. It says, but the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen. His glory shall be seen. So how we thrive as yeast in this big world that looks insurmountable is through pressure. So when God subjects us to that heat of the dealings, our influences are growing. Our influences are growing. All of a sudden, you begin to introduce wisdom, a kind of wisdom in that family that dumbfounds culture, dumbfounds tradition. Because God begins to walk in and through us. And he puts wisdom or influence upon us. Hallelujah. I will not say much here. Our Father is already here. Please, can we rise to our feet? Can we celebrate God's servant?
Can we do that lavishly?
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's celebrate Isaac. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous work. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Our time is already gone. I'm just here to pray, just to add a little to what he has said and then speak over our lives. We bless God for your commitment. We remain committed. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. We are given a responsibility by God. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. So we have a responsibility to ensure that the bread of the Spirit is always available here. In the name of Jesus Christ, praise the name of the Lord. Have just maybe less than 20, 25 minutes, so I think I'll just build on what he has said. It is important for us to understand that the Word of God comes to build our understanding. While I sat there just listening to him teach, my prayer was that God will really help us to see the relevance of the things that he was teaching about, helping us to be kings and helping us to be priests. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, where he got, I believe, his text from, verse 10. We'll read 10 to 12. It says, we have been made unto our God kings and priests. And he says that we will reign in the earth. Go to verse 12. If it is true that we are kings and priests, there are seven spiritual realities that must find expression in our lives. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive for us, number one, power. Number two, riches. Number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. Until these complete spiritual realities find expression in your life, something about your Christian experience will be missing. He touched on a few of them, but this is the concise list. The Lamb received for us. Please keep that scripture again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He had to be slain to receive it. That was how far he went. To slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. So if it is true that you are a king and you are a priest, then we expect to watch all these things manifest in your life in reality. Now they will not manifest overnight. Like he did tell us, we will start activating our priesthood through the new birth experience. And then the ministry of the Spirit. Jesus would retreat away and spend time praying. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when you read, Paul was teaching the church in Corinth, and he brought a concept called the hidden wisdom of God. Is that true? He says, but we speak this among them that are mature, not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that tends to naught. He calls it the hidden wisdom of God, which God made for our glory. Every time we begin to pray in the Spirit, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God can search the mind of God and to reveal to us those things that have been freely given. We must grow to attain unto maturity in the Spirit. Many of us, respectfully speaking, we've been around church for a long time, but we continue to wallow in gross spiritual ignorance. We just know the ritual of coming to church, knowing Jesus. When they pray, you say amen. But there is hardly any substantial spiritual intelligence. Building on what he has shared, I want to challenge you. It's time to grow. You must prophesy to yourself, it is time to grow. Are we together? It is time to grow. And the Bible lets us know, it doesn't leave us in the dark. When you are growing or when you grow, there are certain things that must be captured in your life. Many expressions of it in Scripture. The first is Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. The Bible says Jesus increased. So growth must always come with increase. Increase in anything. When anything remains at the same level in your life, spiritually and otherwise, there is no growth. Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with men. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, so it tells you, that should be verse, is that 7 or 8 now? Please look for it for me. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I spake like a child. Look up, please. Many of us, we need to culture our speaking. You can know whether a believer is attaining unto maturity or not because something begins to change in the way you speak. When I listen to believers speak, I know that many of them, in fact, the truth is that many of us, by the way we speak, we are not yet born again. No. If it's the power that raised Christ from the dead that came upon you, and nothing has changed. You know, we live in a world where it is marketable and fashionable to be vulgar, to be careless. And many of us, as you're looking at me like this, it is still a template that you believe. You are coming to church, maybe you are even a worker, and yet your speaking betrays you. You ship anything from social media, ship anything from radio, TV, and you speak. Many of you, it is your speech that has driven favor away from you. When I was a child, I spoke very pungent, dishonoring, discoordinated communication. It makes it a risk to come close to you because of the way you speak. Is God speaking to us now? If it is true that you are a king, did you know that the Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. Something for you to take home. Change your words. Change your speaking. Some of this ill speaking, careless speaking, anything that comes, you just speak. And you laugh and say, that's how I am. I'm expressing myself. What then is the excellency of coming to the faith life? Kings have a way they speak. Before they allow you to see the Queen of England or any king, there usually is a system of helping you understand the do's and don'ts when you get to the palace. You don't go and speak and say anything anyhow and say it doesn't matter. It does matter. So don't just claim royalty. Subscribe to the demands of royalty. And one of it is culture you're speaking. Is God giving us something to take home? If in addition to what he's shared, you carry this, it is enough deliverance for the week. Many of us need to work on our speech, our speaking. The pungency, the ill communication that comes out of your lips is not that which should come out of a Christian. Talk less royalty. Our environments have cultured us. And you know that your speech comes out of your heart. The abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Hallelujah. So you must make up your mind. Don't just come and say, oh, Isaac taught us today to be kings and priests, and that's wonderful, I am a king. There must be evidences. When I was a child, your words are windows into your mindset, windows into your thought life. I can know the construct of your thinking by hearing you speak. Is that true? And no great person will want to partner with someone if you don't have the discipline to culture your words. Why should I trust you to have the discipline to handle weightier things in the kingdom? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to speak like royalty. One more time, say in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to speak like royalty. Look up, please. Speaking like royalty It's not just jumping around and saying, I am this, I am that. No, no, no. More than that. Culture yourself to be able to speak intelligently. The Bible says that your words be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearers. If your words do not minister grace, then you are not speaking like royalty. Some of you, immediately after service, even to greet, you greet people as if it's a wicked spirit talking. And you are supposed to be a child of God. People avoid you because there is pungency that comes from your speech. I'm trying to be as pragmatic as possible from this discussion so that we don't carry some arbitrary thoughts with no point of application. You must go home with something. If it is true that you are royalty, start with your words. Start with your speaking. Good morning, sir. How are you? God bless you, sir. Now you are speaking like royalty. I beg, open that door for me. You see how you are talking? You act, listen. You act like that and expect kings to talk to you? Change! Don't say I was born in my bag. Don't allow yesterday to frustrate your tomorrow. Repent and change right now. Are we together? You must obtain grace to change right now. Stop. Listen. Let me teach you something. Stop listening to some of these profitless things that you engage your mind in. Some of you submit your mind. Your mind is immersed in largely godless thoughts, from music to things you watch, and then you expect that your speaking will not resonate with what you have followed. No, there has to be constructive change in your life. If it is true that you are royalty, then it must affect your speaking. I spoke as a child. Next verse, please. Let me find somewhere to tie up. I just came to speak over your life. No. The initial verse, the initial chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verse 11 now, I think. When I was a child, I spake like a child. Number two, I understood as a child. Number three, I thought as a child. But when I became matured, I became a man, I put what? What did the Bible call them? It didn't call them cultural things. It called them childish things. There are things you have to be willing to put aside. Seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and then to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. For someone, you came to church tonight and God is speaking to you. It's time to lay aside childish things, childish arguments, childish discussions, childish attitudes. It's time to grow. Validate your being in church by producing fruits that befit a Christian. Hallelujah. I don't want to inconvenience you, but there are many other aspects. I want to be your friend this night. I just came late because if we are to dig into this issue of kings and priests, let me touch a bit on it. Kings dress well. Kings dress well. Kings dress well. Don't just clap. Listen. There is no madman who says I'm a madman. The first way you know a madman is by his behavior and by his apparel. Many of us, and I'm not a judgmental person. I'm quite a conservative person and quite liberal. But then let me tell you the truth. There are many of you, both male and female. Don't even think I'm talking about ladies, or both male and female. I've seen some of you, the way that you dress and then the things you are asking that I should pray for you for. I already know that it's not even just, even if it's released from heaven, your persona, it will run away from you. Remember, I told you that what you are looking for is also looking for you, but not this version of you. Hold on. Please listen. I love you. I have a commitment to help you. From today, act like royalty. Iron your cloth. Don't say it is cheap. No. Don't dress and look like a thief. Dress and look like an irresponsible person just because you are coming to the house of God. No. Discipline yourself. Be careful the things you ship from around the world. You are a child of God. Are we together? Dress well. Look at yourself. Ask wise people to look at you. That's right. No. These are the implications of being royalty. And don't you say I should not talk to you about it. My son, he says, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your heart. He says they are life to those who find them. Some of you, this is what you need to change in your life. Even if God gives you 1 million, you will spend it on riotous living and you will not invest in the things that are consistent with royalty. The shoe might be cheap, polish it. If you are leaving your hair, comb it, look nice, look smart. Don't look like somebody who is not going anywhere. And don't say it does not matter. Are we together? The liberty God has given us is not for licentiousness. We must obtain grace to be responsible people. Grace to be responsible people. And then let me tell you this. There is no king that sits on a throne who is dull. In fact, most kings justify their royalty through the excellency of their understanding. That means if it is true that you are royalty, it's time to re-edit your thinking, your concepts, and be rich unto God, full of spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. That you know what to do. If it is true that you are royalty and you have been in church for a while, you should not be at a loss as to what to do about the matters of life, whether it's in your own life or that of others. Someone comes to you as a believer who has been around for a while. I'm trusting God for financial increase. You don't know what to tell the person. I'm trusting God to be free from demons. You say, go and listen to a message. That is wonderful. But when you who has listened to it, why don't you understand it and now be an interpreter of that thing? Everybody say spiritual understanding. Yes, sir. At this point in your life, it may not be fair to say you should know everything, but at least, if you don't know something about prayer, you should know something about giving. You should know something about relationships. You should know something about the dynamics of manifesting spiritual realities. You cannot be a blessing in ignorance. When they came to Solomon, they came to the king. Watch what happened. Two women, one they slept on one another and then their children died and one exchanged, and they came to Solomon. It was a big issue. It was the first test of his being a king. The wisdom that he had accessed from God. Here's what he said. He said, bring me the sword. That sword is the word of God. The moment the word of God came in, because it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Can I tell you? If you really want a life of beauty and color, please settle down with the word of God. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. And the Bible says that it is able to make you wise unto salvation. Meditate on these things, he says. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear unto all. Man of God, it is time to justify the spiritual investments of God in your life by being someone with sufficient spiritual intelligence. No member will come and sit down and keep listening to you when you are not rich in the knowledge of Scripture. Can I tell you, people love you, but they love their destinies too. And no one will come and sit down and submit to you just wasting time shadow boxing, not having sufficient spiritual intelligence. I have taught you this. To the degree to which you are valuable, all men will seek for you. If it is true that you are a king and you are a priest, then you must defend that title and that position by high level spiritual insight. high level spiritual insight. That when you open your mouth to speak, you are speaking solutions to people's problems. When they come to you, they know that they will find the wisdom of God. I made up my mind that in the name of Jesus, I will continue to grow. Grow in power, grow in wisdom. All of these seven dimensions that Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12 captures. This will be the basis for our prayers tonight. You're going to look at this scripture carefully and find out which part of it is not at work in my life. For some of you, power is zero. Even demons know it. Power is zero. The sons of Sceva, for instance, you can have zero power, no spiritual power whatsoever. Spiritual power is generated from the place of prayer. Spiritual power is generated from the place of illumination and understanding. Power. Have you received power? Have you received riches? Isaac was sharing here. Some of you have deliberately rejected poverty. I mean, deliberately rejected the blessing of the Lord. Based on the guise of either a false teaching by well-intentioned people or just carelessness, not working in keeping with the principles that guarantee the blessing of the Lord. It's time to receive riches and then to receive wisdom and then to receive strength. This strength here talks of capacity, the staying power, the ability to confront the vicissitudes of life without being beaten by them. It says if you turn aside in the day of battle, your strength. Can I tell you, the world that we live in today will require men of stamina. That you will refuse to bend. People can insult you, but you stand true. Most of us do not have that strength and that stamina to endure until your blessings manifest. You need strength. Please keep it there. Strength. And then honor. I've taught you on honor. I told you can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is conferred upon you by another. What is honor? Honor means being rewarded to match your true worth. The perception and the reward that matches your true worth, your true worth. Dishonor is the trivializing, downplaying, demeaning of your value and what you represent. Can I tell you this? You have to receive that grace for honor. There is such a grace for honor. And glory. Glory. Glory here talks of the excellence that comes with results. He said, O Lord our God, how excellent. From the word excel. To excel means to surpass ordinary standards. And blessing. You know by now what blessing is. Blessing is more than just having material things. Material things only come to honor the fact that you are carrying the blessing. The blessing works like a magnet. Is a dimension of the operation of the Holy Spirit upon your life that attracts people, attracts opportunities, and attracts resources miraculously. When you carry the blessing, everything needed for life and godliness will gravitate towards you inevitably. Has someone learned something today? Listen, God sees my heart, my dear people, how that I desire to see us believers walk in superior levels of excellence and results. This is what God desires. Do you know the joy that will be in my heart to hear that someone comes to stand and testify here and say that I had a neighbor and I was sick and the neighbor told me that I'm a member of Koinonia. Apostle may not be here, but Jesus is here and I have been taught. Let me pray for you. It says they shall lay hands on the sick. I've taught you that the days of superstar Christianity is over. It's not all about the man of God. The man of God is a vessel to train others. Good leaders don't maintain followers. They turn followers to leaders and then leaders to agents of transformation. My greatest pride is not being a superstar. Apostle did this. No! That the truths you have heard, you take them and you go and do wonders with them to the glory of the name of Jesus. It is very, very painful for a leader when you invest your time and your energy and there is no growth all wise. When I see people rising, loving Jesus primarily, because in order of priority, my first and most important commitment to you is your spiritual growth and development. Nothing will ever replace that. Every other thing I teach is as an attachment to this foundation. No matter what else I teach you, forever, for as long as you are part of this vision, you can be sure that in order of priority, your spiritual growth and development remains my primary assignment. Your knowing God, your understanding His ways, your growth in prayer, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostle says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that we grow in three dimensions. Number one, the knowledge of His will. Number two, wisdom. Number three, spiritual understanding. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So you will continue to learn the dynamics of prayer. You will continue to understand the word of God. We will keep building you as far as knowing God is concerned. John 17 and verse 3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you. But in addition to all of these things, can I tell you, the Bible says, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life, help me. That means I will not be negligent to also teach you these other aspects of the kingdom. That these seven realities, please keep it there. These are the things that redemption brought for us. Revelations 5 and 12. I will not emphasize one area. The first thing I will teach you is not the seven things. I will teach you about that lamb who was slain. That is the first person you need to know. You don't just know about what the lamb gave you. You need to know the lamb that was slain. In fact, you need to know that he's a lamb. Then you need to know that he was slain. Then you need to know what he has received for you. If all you know is what the lamb has received from you, your knowledge is not balanced. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. Was slain. I will keep learning myself as a man of God, because we remain students in the school of the Spirit. Paul, at the apex of his apostolic ministry, said that I may know him and the power. I may know him. This is how you know people who are passionate about God. They desire to know him. But let me tell you this, beloved people of God. Please be angry at your current level. Hate ignorance. Fight it. Fight it. I cannot continue to live my life this way. There is something I do not know. For some of you, your knowledge should start with an encounter with the God of the Bible. Then you learn the principles. Principles are useless until encounters are in place. You have to know this. Encounters must precede principles. You encounter a person, then you learn the principles that now help you to relate with that kingdom and that system. We are going to pray. We have been made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. I don't want you to fear death. I don't want you to fear the sound of destruction, because there is something that you know. The Bible says, look up please. It says, how does it put it now? It says, all things work together to them that love the Lord and to them who are the called. It talks of loving the Lord and number two, those who are the called. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. An heir, as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. I am challenging you that your priesthood and your royalty depends on knowledge. The Bible says we are a chosen generation. He calls us a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. The Bible says that who have been called out of darkness to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word praises there is the word doxazo, a display of the glory and the royalty of the king. That was what the king asked Vashti to come and do that she refused. He said, come and display my royalty. Let them know that I am king over 127 provinces. And she refused. For refusing to sing his praises, for refusing to display his excellence, she left the palace. It is my prayer for everyone here that no one will take your bishopric. Because you see, let me tell you this. When your life perpetually does not produce fruit that brings glory to the name of the Lord, he will prune you for a while. But after a while, I assure you, he may not throw you away, but he will carry your mandate and give another. It is consistent in scripture. God will not indefinitely forbear with your lack of results. He will love you, but your bishopric, he will give another. That is why you see there are people who start their mandate with God, not capturing certain assignments, but later on in their lives and ministries, you will see some things added to them. It was taken from unfaithful people and given to faithful people. The parable of the talents. They took the talent from the one man. Who did they give it to? The one, he gave him 5 initially. Now he has 11. May God not replace you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. John 15 and verse 8. Herein is our Father glorified. When we bear much fruit, he says, so shall we be your disciples. Verse 16. It says, you have not chosen me. 15, 16, John. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God is counting on us. And tonight we have learned that we are kings and we are priests. It's time for us to stay true. Go and listen to this message again. Stay true to your priesthood. The first port of call, as far as being a priest is concerned, is your salvation. It is true. Jesus said, I am the way. That way leads you to the truth. And that truth administers life. I am the way, the truth and the life. Then he says, no man cometh to the Father except by me. Then when you get saved, like he was teaching you, John chapter 3, now you go to verse 5 and he will tell you, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into that experience of the kingdom. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Water there talks of the ministry of the Word. The Spirit there talks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have you learned something tonight? I want to speak over your life, but we are going to pray for the next 2 or 3 minutes. You're going to cry to the God of heaven and tell him, Lord, I desire to manifest my priesthood. I desire to manifest royalty. Indeed, I desire to manifest my priesthood. For many of us, our prayer lives have gone down. Many of us are not spiritual. Remember what I taught you. There is no spirituality in our lives. We still act carnal. We still act natural. In fact, it says the natural man does not receive anything from God, nor can he understand them, because the carnal man, because they are spiritually discerned. Many of us need to come out of carnality to be driven sensually, that there is no advantage. You are not tapping into the resources of the Spirit to live an excelling life. Don't be neither here nor there. You have to be determined that I want to walk with God. So you are going to pray, Lord, I am ready to be a priest and a king. Culture my words. Culture my lifestyle. Culture my understanding. My appreciation for spiritual things. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Shabranteke pakasubrahaske de belekotush. Embrekete katapakaruske de pad. Koinonia, are you praying? You are crying to the God of heaven. By the Spirit of grace, I desire a rich spiritual life. I am first a priest unto God. A priest unto God, offering up sacrifices. Lord, grant me grace to perform my priestly duties, the duties of prayer, the duties of intercession, the duties of the secret place, the duties of the altar. I receive that grace. Go ahead and pray. Whether you are a businessman, whether you are a minister of the gospel, whether you are a career person, a family person, regardless the geography of your assignment, you are first a priest. Hallelujah. Please look up. There is a structure in scripture that makes for excelling in this realm. It's a tripartite structure. Number one, king. Number two, priest. Number three, prophet. It is a tripartite formation all through scripture. When you see it, the synergy of the kingly dimension, the priestly dimension, and the prophetic dimension. Kings in ancient times, they reigned and they did well to the degree to which they were connected to priesthood. In fact, it was the priests who in many cases doubled as the prophets who ordained the kings. And the kings will have to still tap into the resources of the spirit as it came from the priests and the prophets. Don't lose that formation. Now by the Spirit of God, you've been given the advantage of that duality. You are a priest by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You can connect to the realm of the spirit, tap into the rich resources of heaven. The Bible says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And it takes the Holy Spirit searching the mind of God to reveal those things to you. Eye has not seen, the Bible says. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered the heart of any man what God has in store for them that love him. It says, but he has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Priesthood. It's time to fan back your prayer altar and pray with intelligence and pray with understanding. Don't just pray as a superstitious Christian. Pray as one who has regard and respect for the word. I have taught you this. Go and listen to the teachings. There are many other teachings along this line coming. The prayer ministry must be major in your life. You can pray amiss, Apostle James taught us. But you can pray with precision. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if it is true that he hears us, then we receive our petitions granted. Priesthood, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the word, granting you high-level spiritual illumination. You cannot become a priest in ignorance. Jesus himself knew what to do. You have to know what to do on the matters that surround your life. First, from a spiritual standpoint. Then wisdom. And all the dimensions that help you manifest your royalty. You need wisdom. Hallelujah. I am pounding on this issue of your spiritual life. Many believers pray. Many pray as a ritual because we're in a generation where there is a heightened appreciation of the ministry of prayer. Whether we are praying amiss or praying with accuracy, at least we pray. And that is commendable, hoping that God will fine-tune our approach to prayer. But when it has to do with spiritual intelligence, light, accurate spiritual illumination, being granted access to understanding, many believers are grossly deficient. The body of Christ is grossly deficient. We have lots of spiritual statements, Greek and Hebrew, matters that we communicate, but they are not methodically arranged to give us victory. I know something about ministry. I know something about prayer. I know something about angels. I know something about Greek and Hebrew words. The Bible says, let him that thinks he knoweth anything know that he does not know anything as he ought to know. So we must cry like Colossians 3:16 admonishes us, to let the word of Christ dwell in us in all richness and in all wisdom. It says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The mountain of the Lord's house, according to the prophecy that was given Micah, it will be a house where knowledge will proceed. It says they will say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord, the mountain of Jacob, at the house of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways. Genesis 33, Exodus 33, and verse 13. Moses was crying unto God and he says, show me now thy way. Show me your way. I want to understand your precepts. Then verse 18, five verses later, he now says, show me your glory. You cannot have his glory until you understand his ways. Are you ready to pray? Lord, I am ready in this season to open up my spirit for high level spiritual illumination. I am tired of ignorance. I am tired of shadow boxing, not having spiritual intelligence. Someone pray. Open your mouth and pray. The intelligence to be able to navigate my way around life and command the victory that befits royalty. Show me, O God. Open down my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from out of your law. Someone is praying. Those following online, make sure you pray. We are asking the Lord to grant us illumination by the Spirit. Illumination by the Spirit. Illumination by the Spirit. Someone is praying. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. But I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. It says, you shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. Hallelujah. The last prayer point I'm going to give you, and then we'll wrap up for today. Please look up. The Bible spoke about a strange man in the Bible called Uzziah, who became a very prosperous and a mighty man. And the secret behind his might was that Uzziah set himself to seek the Lord. It says, and for as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. There is a relationship between seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is proof of humility. It's proof that you are incapacitated and you do not know enough. To seek the Lord. The psalmist said, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul. Many of us, your passion for God is going down. God is showing you in dreams. God has used the prophetic to show you. God has used experiences to show you. Something is going wrong with your spiritual life. Don't wait until it goes down to the point where you become a victim of any assault of darkness. Last prayer point. Fan my passion for you. Fan my passion for the house of God. Fan my passion for spiritual things. Someone lift your voice and cry to God. It is not compulsory, but if you are serious with God, cry to God from the depth of your heart. Fan the embers of my spiritual life. Fan it back to flames. Take away laxity and unseriousness from my life. It says, return to me and I will return to you. Is someone praying? Fan my passion for you. Fan my passion for your house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That the house of the Lord would not be something you drag yourself to. And when you go and sit down, you're just waiting for service to end. So you go back. It's with delight. The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you this. When your passion for the house of God goes down, I assure you, that the platform for your growth has also been destroyed. It says, when I came into the sanctuary, then understood I. The house of God is a place of understanding. Hallelujah. When the devil wants to destroy you, he will make it look like a burden to come to the house of God. I am very touched and humbled when I hear that people from as early as 8, 9, 10 are already here and they sit patiently till the service, praying, studying their Bibles and not being distracted. Let me encourage you, God is no man's debtor. This God you see, he will visit you in a way that it will be evident to all. Are you learning? I just returned from a trip and then came here and I could see my people. They were just looking at me, and I'm sure that if they had their ways, they would just say, Apostle, you stretch yourself, please sleep. But even the devil knows that for as long as I am breathing, now. And it is not because God has made me head over this vision by the privilege of God's grace. It is my passion for the house of God. If you do not have passion for the house of God, I am telling you, it's an attack. You are either backsliding or it's an attack or both. You fight it. Passion for the house of God. Because you will get more than money there. In the house of God, you will find strength. They go from strength to strength. As many as appear before the Lord in Zion. Have you been edified tonight? So please go back and kill that laxity. Take responsibility over your spiritual life. Please understand that every time you appear before God, you are not doing God a favor. You are not doing a man of God a favor. I tell you sincerely, it is for your own benefit. Bishop David Oyedepo will tell us that everything command God gives man, it is entirely for his own benefit, not for God's benefit. Make up your mind, the house of God. Make up your mind to engage the word of God. Learn, sit down, be a student of scripture. Let your knowledge not just be Sunday after Sunday. You can go to the YouTube page, and there are so many teachings. Camp with them. You hear the testimonies of people here. They will tell you, I sat with this message. Some of you, if we give you a recommendation of teachings, listen to this, add this to it. Like a doctor's prescription, you usually would go, because we live in a generation where we want instant, sharp, sharp. Anything that is lasting is subject to the law of time. God wants you to be built. He doesn't want to throw you up so that you come back in shame. He wants to build you like an edifice. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, every spirit fighting your spiritual growth, fighting your passion for the house of God, fighting anything God in your life, I command it to give way finally this night. I command it to give way finally this night. I command it to give way finally this night. Hear me? And any association around your life that makes God look like a burden and a luggage, either because of westernization or because some kind of deception of hell, I separate you from those associations. Some of you, the moment you lie down to pray, is the heat of the sun that wakes you. You don't have the sensitivity to wake up. Even when the Holy Spirit is beckoning on you, wake up. It doesn't have to be that until there is danger. Waking up to pray is part of your spiritual growth routine. You must discipline yourself. Prayer is not about being passionate. You don't bath because you are always happy to do it. You don't eat just because there are times you don't even want to eat, but you have to eat for your health. He spake a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Please kill that laxity. Don't say, Apostle spoke over my life, the demon will run away. Build stature, build power in the secret place. There are many of us, easy things are still hard because you are still a child. Shake off certain limitations. Some spirits should not be disturbing you again because of the excellency of the fire that emanates from your life. The same strategy Satan used in your life 2 years ago and defeated you hands down, he's still coming with it again, and you've not grown enough to detect it. Abba! The spirit of understanding, understanding of scripture, an understanding of the ways of God. In the name of Jesus, may it rest upon you now. High level spiritual understanding. I impart that grace upon you now. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare the grace to fight ignorance. Ignorance of the ways of God. Ignorance of the mysteries of the kingdom. I declare that grace released upon you now. The grace that will allow the word of God transform you, transform your speaking, transform your lifestyle, transform your appearance, transform everything about your life. May that grace rest upon you now. And hear me, everywhere you have been living a defeated life, kings are known for excellence. There is an aura of victory always around them. There are kings who slay themselves when they find out that their kingdom, their treasures, everything has been taken. They literally kill themselves because they feel there is nothing there again. Can I tell you this? For any one of you who does not have the evidences around your life that should validate that you are a priest and a king, in the name of Jesus, I declare over you, may the Lord supply those evidences lavishly. Shame and reproach, I drive it far from your life. 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 In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of power rest upon you. Let the spirit of wisdom rest upon you. Let the spirit of might rest upon you. Let honor rest upon you. Let the grace for favor rest upon you. The grace that attracts resources, let it rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm saying it from the depth of my spirit. May this grace that makes for honor, let it rest upon you. May this grace that makes for favor, let it rest upon you. You are a distinguished people. And when you step out, everybody will know that you are Beulah and Hephzibah. Like that garden that the Lord has blessed. Let there be results to your Christian experience. I forbid a frustrated Christian life. I'm not ashamed to bless you all wise. If you need a car, I release it in your life. If you need a house, I release it in your life. If you need a job, I release it to your life. In addition to your spiritual growth, I prophesy upon your life. Everything that will make you comfortable to serve the Lord, I stand upon this altar. I declare, may that grace rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for those of you here who are in ministry and you're not getting the kind of results you should get, in the name of Jesus, from this night, barrenness in ministry comes to an end. You have tried to open a door for a long time and that door has refused to open. I break that door now. Help them, please. I break that door now. Listen, a door is a system for access. It midwives one room and another. It midwives one dimension and another. When that system for access is closed, you can weary yourself at the door. I'm praying again. Every door that has refused to allow you go forward, I stand by the God of heaven. Let that door be broken now. Believe it, I'm placing something on your life. May that door be broken now. You hear me? And for those of you who God gave opportunities and you misuse the opportunities, is there hope for a tree? I want to tell you that you are in a kingdom where God can restore. I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus, everything that left your life, either through carelessness or demonic attack or lack of discernment or abuse and misuse, by the prophetic, I call it forth to your life now. I call it back to your life now. Every troublemaker in your life, not allowing you sleep, not allowing you rise, who goes to your destiny helpers before you arrive there, manipulating them to reject you, in the name of Jesus, I cut you away from them. And everybody who asks you, where is the evidence of your being a Christian this week? May my God start answering them. Not next week. This week. May my God start answering them. Oh, may the mighty God arise for you. Arise for your children. Arise for your family. Let me pray for those in government, leaders and politicians in this house. I'm not ashamed to pray for you. I will pray for you in the name of Jesus. May my God distinguish you. I place an anointing upon you. May God distinguish you in a way that will surprise you. Captains of industry, may my God distinguish you. Businessmen, may God distinguish you. Career people, may God distinguish you. You will become strange men and women of influence. Whatever makes resources run away from you, I stand by the power of the prophetic and I declare over your life, anywhere your resources are, across the globe, not just in Nigeria, the wisdom, the favor, and the stamina to attract those resources, I decree and declare, receive the grace for it now. Everybody who came here from outside this state or from outside this nation, I stretch my hands to you in the name of Jesus. May the God of sudden visitations, the one who can give you a consolation for your sacrifice, may he visit you tonight. Tonight, tonight, not tomorrow. Help that lady tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You hear me? I pray for our online family, all those connecting from diaspora, the thousands of people and potentially millions, whether you are watching by way of a rebroadcast, you are following live by television or by internet, I speak over your life. Receive it by faith wherever you are. May the Lord turn your life around. May the Lord change your story. May you know him more. May your Christian experience carry results. In the name of Jesus Christ. Final prayer. The kind of anointing that must rest on you and cause everything around you to blossom. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, parakatos katia, and then the wilderness shall be counted for a fruitful vine and a fruitful vine for a forest. May that anointing rest upon you now. Grace for signs and wonders. Supernatural manifestations, exploits by the Spirit. Creation will answer to you. Everything will answer to you. Help that lady. Animate and inanimate things in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you this? Listen, I don't stand to brag before you, but I assure you by God, there is nothing I call that does not come. I stand by this grace and I declare, everything you have called and has refused to come, I push it by prophecy. It must obey your call. Opportunity, dimensions,
resources. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Wave your hands to Jesus. Give him praise. Father, we honor you and we thank you. Wave your hands to Jesus. From side to side, let him know that you have received. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. You will return into a realm of strange testimonies. Some of you may not know what has come on your life. No, you didn't come to church with what is on you now. I assure you by God, no matter how anointed you are, I am telling you, what is on you now, you didn't come to church with it. You are carrying back something upon your life that you did not come to church with. In the name of Jesus. Please put your hands down. Thank you very much. You can give him a big, big hand clap. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. Our first and primary assignment as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to reveal Jesus and to lead his people to the cross. Please keep standing. We're wrapping up already. Let's minimize movement. We don't spend up to 2-3 minutes after this call. So let's minimize just running around. I know some of us, for justifiable reasons, we may need to move, but as much as possible, let it be a discipline that you hold yourself. It's not, if you've been here for a while, it doesn't take more than 2-3 minutes and we're done. Hallelujah. Please. It's part of the disciplines of spiritual maturity. Except you have to. But there are many people who have come here tonight whilst listening to the previous session and then the admonishments that I brought here and the prophetic declarations. The Holy Spirit began to speak to you, telling you that you need Jesus and you need to take serious your spiritual life. Now, it is not compulsory. Nobody can force you, but I beseech you by the mercies of God, let tonight not pass you by as far as making this eternal decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. There are two categories in one. I will call you quickly. Those who are handing their lives over to Jesus genuinely for the first time. And then those who are saying, Apostle, I remember making this decision, but I need a rededication. As it is right now, I'm not happy with my Christian life. My life has gone haywire. I've gone into all kinds of things and I need a rededication. Whether you are outside, you're in any of the overflows, you are inside here, I'm going to count 1 to 5. Please, wherever you are, there is no distance that is too far as receiving Jesus is concerned. Let's celebrate them as they begin to come. 1. I'm counting. Rush to Jesus. Don't sit back and assume that you are fine when you know the Holy Spirit is calling you. Come. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He can give you a new beginning, I assure you. Thank you. Thank you. Koinonia, celebrate them. Let's encourage them as they come. It takes boldness to answer this decision. To answer this call. Let them come. I still believe there are a few more people. Come. We have a minute for you. Come to Jesus. Apostle, it's my first time here. Am I invited? You're most welcome. Come. Come to Jesus. Apostle, I've been here every service. And I've watched people come out, but today he's convicting me. Is it too late? No. Come. It is never too late with Jesus. Come. I desire to come, but I don't know if I'm serious with God or not. You can come and have the assurance of salvation right now. Young and old, male, female, you're welcome. Hallelujah. And for those of you who are watching, you are saying, Apostle, can I be part of this? Absolutely. Right in your homes, your churches, wherever you are viewing from, he's giving you an opportunity right now to step into a functional relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, that he should not perish, but have life everlasting. He did not spare his Son for your sake. Now you respond in gratitude. Come. I salute all of you who are here, all those who are in front of your LED screens, and those following from home. Listen, this is a noble decision. I don't want you to stand here feeling bad, stand here feeling ashamed. You are before Jesus, the Son of the Living God. It's like being called to come and receive an award, only that this surpasses every award you've got or you will ever get in your life. This matters to your life now and even to your life hereafter. Thank you for making this decision. Let me request that you raise your right hand as a sign of surrender to the God of heaven. Go ahead. Say this after me. Let it be loud and clear. You are not reciting a poem. I'm only guiding you. Jesus is here to administer that life. Say, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. And I declare that I need you. Right now, I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I declare that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my King. I declare that from today, I am a child of God, a recipient of eternal life. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen and amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these precious ones, young and old alike. You have brought them at the foot of the cross. They have made these declarations, and by the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. In the name of Jesus, I declare that God is giving you a new beginning. Let the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave be broken over your life. Now I commend you to God and even to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I commend you also to the ministry of the Spirit, that you be grounded and established in righteousness. In the name of Jesus, you will go from glory to glory. You will go from grace to grace. Forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's celebrate them. Thank you very much. Now, please may I request just for a minute or two that all of you in front here just move to my right, which will be your left. There are counselors waving their hands, smiling at you. Please just move to my right and they'll have a word or two with you. Just get your information and you'll be back to your seat. Let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate them. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Let us go in peace and return with joy. In Jesus' name I pray. The grace in fellowship, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives, as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and see you on Sunday.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI to stream Koinonia Live.
Go to lukeella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853.